Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Baton Rouge, boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show, boy, don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. Today see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. Boy, they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass through for a season, season. God bless, I gon' weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Good night. Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City, that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. Today's topic, we're going to talk about a little bit about what was talked about in the Guardian News and the media. We're going to talk about the new cancer cases, nearly doubles by 2050. Minister Davil, Minister of Health, he warns against highly processed food, urges cancer screening. And second half of our show, we'll talk about the recent crime spree and how it ties into our healthcare in the country, as well as we talk about education after we discuss the new cancer cases that we're talking about a double by 2050. And I want to show you how everything ties in. That's why it's important for us to have a dialogue on the directory on how our healthcare is going in the country. I think the governments of the country, meaning previous governments, it's their priority to provide the best healthcare and preventative measures with the best information, with the best physicians, and basically warning, early warning systems on how to prevent certain chronically ill diseases like hypertension, high blood pressure, you know, sugar, cancer, and how for us as a nation to teach our kids, because we wonder why hospitals so full, hospitals ain't get no beds. Well, it's not going to get better for us no time soon based on these analysis. That's in newspaper, and we all know, based on previous analysis, and statistics over the course of many years in the country. And we have heard young kids at the age of 10, 9, have high blood pressure and sugar. It's because of the way how they're consuming their food, they're eating unhealthy, and as they grow, their condition will worsen. And the volume of people who are doing that in this country, basically because they do not know, basically because it's poverty, and they don't have the resources to buy the proper food items they need. And also, many of the food items that are on our food stores around the country should not be on the shelves in the first place. Because I want you to understand that when you go in the food store, if you read some of the labels, it will tell you can cause cancer. So we're having our health doctor, Mr. Darvill, who's very experienced. He has been and done that, you know, but, you know, we have to take this information and see how we can bring this into education and see how we can transfer from the primary school to the junior school to the senior high school to get ahead of the problem. Because honestly speaking, at this rate, we're not going to be able to get ahead of the problem because of the struggles of life. And people, you know, in a poverty level state where they can't really manage the income that is necessary to sustain them, for them to buy proper items like the right fruits, the right vegetables, the right meat, and et cetera, they would not be able to. And like I said, the food that is on some of our shelves would not be accepted in places like Russia, places like England, places like France. These things are banned from entering their country because of the harmful products that are in the processed food. So they're getting ahead of the problem, okay? And with us, as a third world nation, we allow products that are condemned in countries that are putting their citizens first means that the country itself has done a finding, means research, that certain foods that comes into the country that are canned goods, you know, because a canned good, you know, you could have a canned tuna and you don't have to open that, you know, and that be like that for years and years and years and years. You don't think the solution they're putting in there is going to have an effect on the human body? Do you think that's going to still remain that same tuna? No, I think that over the course of the heat and the temperature and it being in the food store for a long period of time, you know, something will wear and tear, some rust or something patch it, and eventually, you know, chew, it has to sell, it's on the shelf, it's stocked up, they have to get rid of their stock. So they send it to the third world countries like this, where they have companies set up that has a connection with them. And they use that here in the Bahamas. And we have no restriction on what's coming in the country, that comes in the country. And because of that, we have a health crisis in our country. What's crazy, before I begin the show, I want to congratulate my cousin, Miss Universe Bahamas 2026. Miss Sandra Hanfield, in our home, we call her Ma. Her Ma name is Kendra Fox. And, you know, she is good stock. She have a good mom and she has a good dad. They put everything in her. You know, I'm very proud to see that, you know, she was crowned Miss Universe Bahamas 2026. I think she represents the island of Exuma. And it was remarkable to see that, you know, there's still hope in the country. But we need more opportunities for our young people in the country, you know, for them to perform at this level. You know, in fact, congratulate all of the contestants who participated, because all of you did wonderful, you know, and made all of us proud, made your parents proud. You know, not everyone's going to win, but you win automatically just by just being a representative of whatever family island that you represent. You did well. And that's just the first stage. If you continue on it, you never know where you're going to end up in life. You get exposure that people are going to be calling each and every one of you, congratulating you, and you never know what job opportunity or job venture is going to come to you just by participating. So it ain't all about winning the prize. Sometimes it's just about competing and doing your best. And sometimes your best is good enough because there are people out there who recognize you, and then opportunities would come your way. So I want to congratulate my cousin, Shaunya Henfield, for being crowned Miss Universe Bahamas 2026. And again, to all the rest of the contestants, you did wonderful. Just amazing. Like I said, we call her Ma. You know, my auntie Yvonne, she named all of the grandchildren. She named me, she named everybody. So she was the one who gave it a name, Ma. And again, congratulations. Okay, we can begin the show. We're going to start the show. Go ahead.
Take ownership of your health, first and foremost, and relearning food. That's a key component, right? Everybody talks about the taste. Well, you could retrain your taste buds as well. And it's a personal choice. Every day that we eat, we're making a choice of what we are consuming. Even in the tightest budgets, there are ways that we could still incorporate vegetables, even if they're frozen vegetables. There are ways that we could avoid the fast food and go home and cook a meal. So I want to encourage you to take ownership of your health by watching what you eat and, of course, movement. And thirdly, by staying ahead of your health screening. If you know that you eat convenience food, if you're on the go a lot, then that's even more important reason for you to get your annual exams done.
Yeah, that's just a little clip talking about your health, but I'm going to read something with the Nassau Guardian. This is published. When this was, excuse me, what's going on now? This is published, Monday, July 20th. And it says, yeah, New cancer cases to nearly double by 2050. So you know me, I'm an inner city person. And you know, you can't see cancer from the outside. You know, people can look healthy, but it eats you out inside. And if you don't get a proper screening, if you don't get diagnosed at the proper time, you can have a very, very serious prolonged health problem. You know, that leads to other chronically ill diseases in your body. So it's better for us to start to eat more healthier. You know that rice is sugar. A lot of the soft drinks that we consume in our body because we're tired and thirsty, you know, we say we always want some sweet, you know, it's hot, you know, it's very hot, you know, I'm here talking, you know, I have my problems as well, but I'm breaking down. So this is nothing. This is not something that is very easy for a human being to do when you're being accustomed to, you know, eating the way you're eating, you know. It was a program that started many years ago that has led us to being high in diabetes, obesity, you know, cancer, you know, and all of the chronically ill diseases. In fact, the Bahamas is one of the highest next to the U.S., I think the U.S. is the highest in the world, okay, with chronically ill diseases. I think there's close to 200,000 or 300,000 people per year that dies from food poisoning in the United States of America. And that is because of the processed food, okay? So that's why we got to be very careful and we got to educate our kids. And like I said, we're never going to get ahead of the problem in the Bahamas if this continues. So let me read, and this is very important, you teach your kids, you know, because Bahamians were not like this. If you go back to the Bahamas, say 60, 70 years, according to what people was telling me, we didn't have no high obesity. We didn't have no high cancer. We don't have no high heart attack, okay? People getting amputated and all this stuff. When we started to bring in the fast food chain, like Domino's Pizza, this is not to stop people from buying from this establishment. You know, they were only for special days. You know, you would eat pizza on a special day, eat Kentucky chicken on a special day. But if you're consuming it, you know, it eventually, you know, start to destroy your body, as well as other food items and drinks and soft drinks and stuff like that, but combined together. Yeah, so let me just read. Okay, this is in the Nassau Guardian. It says, yeah, without urgent action, annual global cancer cases are projected to rise to nearly 35 million by 2050, up from 20.6 million new cases. The World Health Organization is predicting in a new report, cancer remains the second leading cause of death globally after diseases with close to 10 million deaths annually. Cardiovascular diseases, 10 million deaths annually. The WHO Globally Status Report on Cancer 2026 was developed jointly with the International Agency for Research on Cancer, IARC. Reversing this trend will require a fundamental shift towards a people-centered approach that responds to the health needs and lived experience of affected people and communities. The WHO says it notes that millions of people are facing physical, emotional, and financial toll of cancer, a disease that claims more than 26,000 lives every year, every day. Data from the World Health Organization Globally Cancer Observatory shows the Bahamas records an estimated 525 cancer deaths every year. 525 cancer deaths every year. You know, people always say this, when it's your time, it's your time. Do you think that's true? Just say if you agree on that. They say, when it's your time, it's your time. But don't you think if 525 people are dying from a disease, do you believe it was their time to die? Or do you believe some of the things that God wants us not to consume and put in our body causes us to be in a position where we cause ourselves to die? Now, I could be wrong on the way I'm interpreting it now. Because if we have 525 people dying here, that's not natural cause. When it's time for you to die, you know, you could die of old age, you call it natural cause. You know? But the cancer causes people to die untimely deaths. You know, these are untimely deaths. And can prevent it with proper education, starting from the junior high school, starting from the preschool to the primary school to the junior high school. And that could come in form from health professional in conjunction with our teachers. You know, teachers are our first line of defense. That's why teachers are so important to the development of our country. So we have to give the teachers what they need, because they're going to be the first line of defense. If we want to change the directory of untimely deaths, we have to start from the preschool to the junior school to the senior school, and then eventually with the education and the information received, teaching our kids on proper eating and healthy lifestyles. And if you eat like this, if you eat the pork, if you eat the hot dogs, and you eat all these stuff that has no electrolyte, and after time, you know, it causes you to get high blood pressure, leads you to get cancer, and then you get all kind of chronically ill diseases that leads you to be a diabetic, and then your arm or your leg or your toe or something get cut off, can be prevented in this country. So let me finish with it. So a lot of people, you know, when people say, it's your time, you know, it's your time. No, sometimes people can cross their debt, not knowingly. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Because if you was not consuming the processed food, you know, on a daily basis, you can't see what it's doing to your body from the outside. But on the inside, it's destroying you. So let me finish reading. He said it takes 20, hold on, where it was. Clearance more than 26,000 lives every day. Data from the World Health Organization says, oh yeah, estimate 525 Bahamian die every year in this country. According to the agency statistics, in 2024, there were 1,116 new cases. The top three leading cancers in the Bahamas, let me go to page 5. Let's see. No, I can't see too good. I need to go to eye doctors as well. It says here, ranked by deaths for men, prostate, rectum, and lung cancer. For women, it is breast, cervical, and colorectum. Minister of Health and Wellness, Dr. Michael Dowell, said his ministry is focused on raising public awareness on early detection. We're going to raise across the board that one aspect, he said. The second aspect is people who are diagnosed with cancer have a better chance of survival than the old days. And this brings us to early detection screening. And so the Department of Public Health, in collaboration with the NIH, National Health Insurance, has added more screening testing in the primary healthcare component for every detection: breast cancer, cervical cancer, rectal cancer. All of these, once you detect them in the early stages, it reduces the cost of treatment level, and you can get on top of these things very rapidly. So this is the first directive we need to go in. More screening tests and getting people to understand that they must come in for yearly physical. And if there's anything that is brewing in the early stages, we can pick it up, because for all of these cancers, survival rates are approximately 90 to 95% if early detected. In addition to providing greater options for screening, Darwell said promoting healthier lifestyle is also key. One of the things that we need to focus on has to do with diseases of lifestyle. He said, diseases of lifestyle is what's contributing factors to cancers. It's what we, like I said, you know, I ain't a scientist, but I've been saying this ever since I came on the show. I know that the processed food, because I read some of the stuff on the can, and it says that it's cancerous. Now, let me ask you all a question. If something is cancerous and could give you cancer, why is it allowed in our country? And then we want to fight cancer? Now, let me see how this makes sense. Now, Kristen, this doesn't make any sense. Now, you have stuff in the food stores, right, that says can lead to cancer. There are many items in the food store you could read on the labels, and they can tell you these things. You just have to read, people, okay? And it says these things. So why allow it in the country? Because of money. Because of companies that form, and they need to get rid of their inventory, their stock, because it can't go in other countries that list them. Some countries have listed them as terrorists. The food that comes in a country, they have listed it as terrorists, all right? Terrorism. because they know it leads to chronically ill diseases like cancer, heart attack, obesity, and all kind of whatever you want to call it. All right? So why? So let me just finish reading Ms. Dr. Dowell. All right? Call it coming to you right now. Just give me 1 second and coming to you. Let me just read this quick. Anything that's proven is early stage beginning death. Because all of these cancers, survival rates, yeah, I'm not even read that. In addition to widening greater avenues for screening, he said, healthier lifestyle is key. One of the things we need to focus on has to do with diseases of lifestyle. Okay? Diseases of lifestyle is what really the major contributing factors to cancers. What we are about to finish the regulation for health promotion and wellness bill, which will be focused heavily on educational components to teach behemoths how to read labels. Listen, you see, I just read this now. Listen, telling you, right? Regulation, health promotions, and wellness bill, which will be focusing heavily on the educational component to teach behemoths how to read labels, teach them, understand what is in their food, and what has the potential carcinogen. You see this carcinogen right here? That's put plastic in your body. And that's the processed food, okay? And to look very careful, and for us to also begin to look at what's being imported into this country. Now, hold on now. Listen to me. With all these smart people in this Bahamas. Now, I know I ain't too smart, right? But we have the Minister of Health, who have been the Minister of Health and been in government for many years and is a doctor. And now, finally, he's going to say, this is what they're going to focus on. See, the government always supposed to be the first line of defense for its citizens. So a lot of diseases that you see happening in the country now is because these check and balances, like what the government's going to implement now. This is a step in the right direction, but this is supposed to be established from over 40 years ago or 50 years ago. Just hear what he said now. Let me see it again. To look on what's being imported into the country and things that are bad for behemoth health that have no carcinogens, to ban them. They are allotted. These highly processed food, they are beginning to show up to too many processors for chronic diseases, including cancer. And we need to be mindful of it in the country. And that's why I'm forming this Food Safety Committee. Listen, we backwards, but listen to me. The Bahamas is a backward place. Yes, we have some intelligent people, but they ain't so intelligent because many people always know that you always supposed to have this. Let me see it again. I'm forming the Food Safety Committee. You supposed to have people who go, know beef, know what's in the tuna, know what's in the chicken that we eating. Because some of the chicken that we eating is actually got growth hormones in it. So we wondering why some of our children are so sexually active. It's because the chicken was coming in the country, you know, and some of the meat, you see the red dye, what is being the meat and all that stuff? They grow hormones. And when you consume that chicken, it goes in the human body. And what do you think it does? You see the little girls, them bumping at an early age. And the girls, them sexually active. And the young boys, them sexually active. It's because of this food that we are experimenting on in this Bahamas. And we're talking about the hospital. We could build all the hospitals in the world. It's not going to help us if this keeps up. You know, because all we do is adding on and adding on and adding on and just listening. We just going to form a task force to see what kind of food coming in the country that says, you know, eat at your own risk. You could get cancer. And our government is letting it come in the country. So they're the ones who making everyone sick. Right? Because that's what we pay them for. to do the research and to cancel and to ban anything that comes in this country that is not good for Bahamian people. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Scusi.
Yes, sir.
The government doesn't make anyone sick. Okay?
No, I ain't saying the government's making no one sick.
No, you said that, actually.
No, what I mean is this. If you allow the stuff that's coming in the country and import it in the country, also, knowing that you have cancer, diabetes, and all this stuff at a high level, and you have, let's finish this, let's finish this. And then you are the person responsible for the health of the nation. And these things lead up to all of the health issues in the country. When you read a can of tuna, it tells you cancerous. Who allowed these things to come in the country?
How many years are we removed from 1967?
What, 54? Or 53?
No, no. How many years are we removed from 1967?
I can't, man.
33 and 26 is 59.
Yes, sir.
Almost 60, okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, we have had adequate time in this country to feed ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, 50 years is a lifetime. So, we have to import stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Go ahead.
I'm listening. The importation problem is a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, awesome boxes is stuff for export only. You know, on the box itself, this stuff is for export. But see, it's not what we eat that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's what is eating us. Now, when you eat certain foods, they come with a certain protocol and certain consequences.
And not to cut you off, the number one of them is pork.
No. I ain't even talking about that.
No, I'm just saying, but the number one is pork.
No, I'm just saying.
The number one is pork.
I love, boy, listen here, son. I love your good pork.
No, I am so saying, and just go do your research.
I ain't gonna be a Pharisee right now.
No, okay. I know I'm not saying, I'm just telling you.
If you look up on crack coke, okay. But see, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, go ahead.
Some stuff that is on every package, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in terms of processed food.
Mm-hmm.
It's called dietary fiber.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it sounds good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that stuff cannot be absorbed by the body. It's eaten and it has to be expelled.
And it stays in the gut.
Well, it stays in the gut until it's fermented.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes out of the stool.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some versions of it that stay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the problem that we are having here, especially in terms of obesity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you would find the substance in
milk,
in sodas,
like milk as well. Go ahead.
I mean, like, bread, ice cream.
Of course.
Right. But see, the issue now here is not getting upset over it. But we have to become self, you know, I call it being a self-manager.
Self-sufficient.
No. A self-manager.
Mm-hmm.
You have to manage everything, and you are responsible for everything that comes inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, over the past couple of years,
mm-hmm.
I've made it a point to eat at least one thing like straight from the soil,
mm-hmm.
each day.
Makes sense.
You know, dilly, banana.
No, that makes sense. That's vitamin. Okay. In fact, the stuff you're talking about, combine together, they give you all the vitamins.
Yeah, yes. But but you know, all the natural stuff help you to expel stuff out of the body also.
Yes.
You know, and expelling is, you know, folks, too many of us are not active enough.
I think we are at a disadvantage, honestly speaking, because, you know, you living in the city and living in the city, and I look at people every day, people just struggling. People are just struggling to survive, and they eat anything. People eat noodles. People need noodles every day. Right? You know, I eat noodles all day from one Monday to Saturday. Yeah.
Scoogey, how long you see the line is be at the KFC after 10 o'clock in the night?
Of course. By the Guardian, and sometimes it be around by the robbers and the tribes.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, you know, most of the problems that we are having in terms of health, these problems are self-inflicted.
But they are self-inflicted.
Self-inflicted.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, let me ask you a question. Yes, it's self-inflicted, but when a government is formed, right, they have the Ministry of Agriculture. You understand? They have the Ministry of Health, right? And their job is to make sure that the people themselves are protected. That's what I'm saying. If you allow the stuff that has pathogen to come in the country and is on the shelf and people has no funds to get the right proper, like, you know, they don't have a backyard farm and, you know, they're really hungry, they're going to get the can of tuna that says on it, eat at your own risk. This is, you can catch cancer from this.
People do what's convenient.
That's right. And so I'm saying to you, this is what I'm trying to explain to you.
Yeah.
The first language sense would take that away, so you won't have that opportunity, because you would ban the stuff so that comes in the country from the beginning, before it even hit the country, for it even to go on the shelf, for people to have a choice to go and buy it, we had already banned it.
You heard the uproar that happened this week, right?
Yeah. What's that? There are plenty of uproar we had lately.
No. The uproar between Dr. Sands and the GLP stuff.
GLP.
GLP, yeah. It's a weight loss. Okay?
Okay.
And he said something, man. Mm-hmm. And the women were like up in arms.
They walk out?
No. Okay,
Explain it.
It's to help women who are overweight, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of the females are buying a cheaper version of this drug.
Yeah, he's talking about that. He's talking about how it could be very unhealthy for them. Yes.
See, it's back again to what? The choice issue.
Mm-hmm.
We have to choose our destiny. I mean, our government, they can legislate as much as they want. If we are not prepared to do as we should, it's going to be our problem.
You know, a lot of people are very educated. Let me just say this to you. You know, there's a disconnect in this country. You don't believe there are people in the inner city community who don't listen to radio or TV and don't know what me and you talking about right now? I'm just trying to tell you, there are thousands of people right now in this country, don't know what we are talking about right now, even though we have 550 Bahamians dying of cancer-related that area that can be prevented. We have thousands of people out there right now. Right now, right? Even though this education, this information we're giving them right now, to help save their lives, right? They don't know this. So if education is not the key, then we're going to continue to have this problem. Simple as that.
As you're saying, the problem is the government needs to exercise more control, I guess.
Yes, they have to. They did the first line of defense.
I'll be listening.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And I understand everything you're saying. But there's like a disconnect out there with our society. People out there just put anything in their body. Okay, if you look at the nail polish, the perms, the makeup, these things are listed on the job when you buy it. So all I'm saying that, Mr. Darwell is saying this now as a professional, and he been a doctor for over 50 years. And now he decided, because he's saying he, listen closely, see? You got to use their words. These are the first line of defense. Call that company right now. And he is saying now, after how many years, 77 years, or from 1967, you said, sir? He is saying now that he, right? Because he talking about what has potential carcinogen. See, find the word carcinogen, and you'll find out what it is, right? And to look very careful for us to also begin to look at what's being imported into the country and things that are bad for the behemoth health that have carcinogens to be banned. And that's how you stop. And then you grow your agriculture, because we import close to, what, $2 billion worth of imported foods in the country. We could quickly bring that down by helping empower local farmers across the archipelago of the Bahamas with healthy food that grows on the ground, that has no carcinogen in this, that is not canned goods, okay? He is saying that now. An experienced doctor as him, and I'm just a guy from the streets, and I said that they always supposed to have a first line of defense. Just like in the police, you're always supposed to have a first line of defense so you stop corruption. Defense Force Department, the same thing. You have persons in there who their job is to go after anyone who is doing bad deeds and arrest them. The hospital job is to go out anything that is coming in the country, the health department, to help their team to analyze it, to see if there's anything that's going to affect the children, the teenagers, and the grown-ups, and the elderly that is causing the hospital to be overfilled with chronically ill diseases. And that would be a preventative measure along with education. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Hi, hey, good day. What's happening to you?
Good. Everything good?
All right. Good afternoon and good day to the nation. Just wanted to add one or two points to what you were discussing, right? And to help open up the conversation and even the thinking around the conversation some more. I don't know if you recall, maybe, let's see. Maybe about 8 years ago, right?
Sorry.
Maybe about 8 years ago when Dr. Sands was the Minister of Health, right? And Beef Mart, keep the corned beef.
Go ahead, Anton, go ahead.
You remember that, Scrooge? Hey, no, I'm asking you a serious question. Do you remember it?
Yes, I remember it, Anton.
All right, now look here. We had a thoracic surgeon, right? One of the leaders, certainly in our region, right? And recognized globally, respected globally, right? In his field. And I remember we were talking about the same kind of conversation, foods that are unhealthy for the humans to be consuming, right?
Yes, sir.
But because of the everyday struggles, a lot of the humans are... Or a challenge.
Yes, they are challenged. They are challenged. Right? You know, Foyzan, you be in the force. You be in the star, Anton, so you know exactly what we're talking about.
Absolutely. And I recall that Dr. Sands at the time had stated publicly that he would be seeking to reduce the box on healthy foods and certainly do something with regards to the unhealthy foods, right?
Yes.
Now, he was, I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you. Was he successful in his endeavors?
No.
He was not. He was completely unsuccessful.
No.
In his endeavors.
No.
Scrooge, right?
Yeah.
So he had the mindset, he acknowledged what was wrong, right? Mm-hmm. They all acknowledged what was wrong, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, and this is not political, of course. We have a nasty tendency when we're having honest conversations and we're given credit where credit is due as it relates to who passed the reforms or who put the policies or the legislation in place. We have some small-minded individuals who come behind and talk nonsense about making it political. And it has absolutely nothing to do with making it political, but it's political decision mm-hmm. that we are making, similar mm-hmm. to what you're referring to, mm-hmm. right? Persons who are learned in the medical field, who know what the bad foods are, but hasn't done anything
mm-hmm.
to put a stop to them.
Yes, sir.
Over all these decades. That's what you're saying, right,
yes,
George?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And so that's not political in its statement.
No.
Right? But it was Dr. Davos giving credit where credit is due.
Mm.
Right? It was Dr. Davos who spoke to the country about this sin tax, right?
Mm.
As it relates to all these bad sugary items and bad foods and items, other items. Because it ain't just food, right? you know, the fellas on the block, they like to smoke. Right?
Yep, yep.
And they're always smoking marijuana.
No. You're right.
And for many other things in the country.
Yes, yes.
That we as behemoths like to smoke, or that we behemoths like to drink.
Yes.
And it ain't necessarily only alcohol.
Yes.
Right?
It's even some of the woman part and stuff like that, and the tissue yeah. we shouldn't even yeah. have in the Bahamas. Honestly speaking,
tissues,
yes,
right?
yes, yes. Go ahead, Antoine.
And giving credit where credit is due.
Fair enough.
Which is one of the reasons why I have the greatest respect for Dr. Davos as the Minister of Health, right? Not only is he a great medical mind, but he's also a great engineering mind, mm-hmm. right? Which is another area that the country gets the benefit,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot of blame is passed on to him unfairly and unnecessarily
mm-hmm.
for challenges the nation has experienced for the last 40 years.
Mm.
People expect for him to clear it up in 5 years.
No, it can't. No, it's very difficult.
Things take time. Things take money. Things take infrastructure, right? And not only infrastructure in terms of the building, right? And in terms of the human resources and all that kind of stuff, which you got to train and put in place in order to help alleviate a lot of these challenges that we're having. But the one thing I'm grateful for,
mm-hmm.
Scrooge,
yes, sir.
Is that we finally have a Minister of Health. We finally have a Prime Minister and a Cabinet, right? Who has reduced all the VAT, right? To try and make healthy food more affordable for the humans. Do you understand what I'm saying, Scrooge?
It's a step in the right direction.
We thought this day would have never come.
It's a step in the right direction.
People who are against the government don't even like to acknowledge the good or the great thing that the government is doing. But listen, man, we could build the latest infrastructure. We could put the latest technostructure in a new hospital facility, but we still consuming the same old bad food.
Ain't an happening.
Bad drinks.
Ain't an happening.
We can end right. All we can end up doing.
They're in the full in the hospital right back up.
In them places.
Right back up again.
Nice facility.
No more beds. And, no more leaking roof. The same thing is gonna happen again.
We can end right up in them places.
I agree with you.
Be in the worst condition ever.
Because this
we could be in a brand new facility,
yes.
which makes absolutely no sense.
No sense. If you
and
don't.
So,
you're correct.
I really appreciate how Dr. Davos is taking a multi pronged approach.
Yeah.
Multi pronged. This thing ain't single pronged.
I respect that.
Multi pronged. Said it again, Scrooge.
I respect that. Yeah, he's bringing out the check and balances in.
He's busy trying to address the medical infrastructure plan throughout the country.
Yeah.
Upgrading the clinics, building new clinics, outfitting them with the necessary tools and equipment.
Yeah, I must say on the family islands and a lot of places are getting clinics. Even Nanya by National Insurance, I had Cornerstairs one building there as well. I've seen a lot of clinics now getting high tech equipment, so honestly speaking. I must give a thumbs up for that. No.
You have to give credit. And all is well in our medical plan in the country.
No.
All is not well, Scrooge.
No.
But we have the right people in place who are putting the right foot before each step every day, trying to move us in the right direction. Scrooge.
No.
And it's happening. It's happening right before the very eyes of the people who have challenges, the people who are chronic complainers,
mm-hmm.
the people who don't believe in giving the government no credit.
No.
It's happening, Scrooge.
No.
It's happening.
And I want to encourage Dr. Darvill to continue the great work.
Yeah.
Because identifying these bad foods that we consume, putting them on an F list or making them so expensive that you might as well go buy caviar or lobster every day, because those would be more affordable than these bad foods, is a great step in the right direction.
Yes,
too.
Sir. Yes, sir.
It's a great step to help to prevent you from ever becoming ill in the first place.
Yes, sir.
And those are the kinds of realistic policies that we need.
That's preventative measure.
To get us from being number three.
What were we number three
on the planet? On the planet.
What are we number three on?
Cancer and obesity and all these nasty.
Now think about that. Now think about that, baby. That's it. You heard Anton saying, I know it's like we was number three. I thought we was in the top 10. I mean, we in the top 10.
Number three, number five for one or two.
Right, I know.
Certainly top five.
Now, how is that?
For some of the worst diseases on the planet.
In the Bahamas.
A small island developing
Bahamas.
Nation.
Where we have fish. Where we have crawfish. Where we have, seven in the islands. 700 keys. Come on, man. Come on. Come on.
Which everybody after, we must add on that note, right?
Yeah.
And then on the next end, you get Minister Campbell, right? Who's doing an excellent job in agriculture.
Yeah.
Reducing the food bill.
Yeah, I saw
by
it.
At least $300 million.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so Scrooge, in all honesty, Scrooge, I listen to people, and sometimes I just decide not to even participate in the conversation, because chronic complainers are just going to complain about every and anything, even when you're taking them in the right there.
Then
Moses took them out of Egypt.
Yeah.
Truth. They complained.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them on the border of the promised land, they was complaining.
Yeah, that's true.
So God let them walk right by many years, Ruth.
Mm-hmm. 40 years and 40 nights.
40 years until that generation die out. Mm-hmm. You couldn't take that mindset.
No, you couldn't carry that generation.
You couldn't take that into paradise.
Yeah, they lost hope.
You understand what I'm saying, Scrooge?
Yeah, even no progress was there.
So listen, Scrooge. All is perfect in our country. All is not perfect.
No, there's a lot of work to be done.
But listen, Scrooge. We have a great little country. Listen, man, Scrooge.
Mm.
You know what it is for a black majority nation.
We run ourselves.
As independent as we are.
We just need to get it right.
To have the opportunities that we have access to. To have the reach to the people who we have access to.
Yes.
To be able to get things done for ourselves and our families. All in perfect, Scrooge. All is not perfect, Scrooge.
But if
we continue to work together, at the end of the day, at the end of this five-year term, because this is what it promised to this government, I believe, Scrooge, we'll all be better off at the end of the day for it.
Okay.
So I want to encourage you, Scrooge, to continue to be real. Call out what is necessary to be called out.
Yeah, man.
But also give highlight and acknowledgement to what is necessary to be highlighted.
I always do that. I always do that every time. You know,
I agree.
I like progress, you see.
Progress. Was that deliberate, Scrooge?
That's progress, man.
Progress.
It's progress. Yes, sir. Respect, Anton. You know, he made some valid, but like I say, you know, I give credit where credit is due. I said that Dr. Darvill, you know, should have been done a long time ago, but it's better late than never. And we do need to check in balances and places in our country, because Anton made a good point. You know, we have a black ruled country, you know, and it's one of the rarest countries in the world where we have black people running their own country. And if you get it right, by finding out the small things and making it a priority, because see ya, this right here, it's a step in the right direction. This same program right here, right, that Dr. Darvill is talking about, should have been a program 50-something years ago that implemented, and we're supposed to have done out a team of trained people over the decades and who continue to train to look for harmful pathogens that comes into the country. And that could come anywhere from cosmetology, because there's a lot of harmful cosmetology stuff that comes in the country that up to this day is giving our females skin cancer, cervical cancer, and breast cancer. But they don't even know it. You know, that's what they say, unknowingly you do things. You know, I read a lot. Some of the wigs and some of the pods and, you know, even the soap that we use, you know, even the arm deodorant that we use, people, some of them shouldn't even be listed and allowed to come in our country and should be banned. You know, and that's all I have to say, because a lot of diseases that occur in our country can be prevented, like Dr. Darvall stated, early detection. But what about preventative measures? And the preventative measures is for the government to add the educational components to reach behemoth, how to read labels, teach them to understand what is in their best, what is in their food, and what has pathogens. I mean, potential pathogens. I mean, hold on, I'm getting it wrong. What has, potential pathogens, and to look very careful, and for us to also begin to look at what's being imported into the country, and things that are bad for behemoths, behemoth health, that have pathogens, to ban them, you know. So he's suggesting they're putting together a food safety committee. A food safety committee supposed to be in the Bahamas from over 50 years ago, so that we wouldn't have this problem now. We wouldn't have all these hospital beds, and our parents and grandparents died from chronically ill diseases if we have checks and balances coming to the country. And the reason for that, you know, it's because when I walk into the House of Parliament and I look at the former parliamentarians who served the country great, and there are big names up there, you know, and I'm not saying this for no one to stop spending money to the company. No, it's not about that. You know, the Minister of Health is saying that we have to ban stuff that's coming to the country. So they're coming through companies. Companies that are formed by business people in the country who have connections with people abroad. It could be politicians. It could be business people who are working together to get this stuff in the country. It goes way bigger than what we think. You know, because our own is growing our own. But now we're putting in checks and balances. And this is the right step. That's why I was never introduced in the first place. Because I believe that many politicians from both sides have companies in the Bahamas that have connections with companies in the U.S. And when the U.S. want to get rid of the processed food that cannot be sold to countries that have a food safety committee that it inspect what's coming in that country, they ban it. So once it's banned, these things are already boxed, they're canned and stuff like that, so they in storage. The United States has to get it out. And what they do, they dump it off to the Caribbean countries. And that's why Antoine said we're number 3, number 6, and number 7. Because we're in the top 10 in a few categories now. Imagine that. So a lot of these things are early deaths. A lot of people, the 530-some people that are dying every year in the country, in most cases, can be prevented by having a food safety committee. Inspect our food, inspect what is coming in with our cosmetology, coming in with our meat, you know. And to the caller earlier, one of the worst food, I'm not telling no one to eat no pork, you know. I'm telling you to look at pork. You think there's a reason why Jesus took the demon out and put him in the pigs? Why the pigs? Pigs have no sweat glands. Pig meat is take weeks to digest in your body. Pigs have all type of worms, okay? You could grill pig all you want, and the worms still would be inside the pig, and when you eat the pig, it goes in your body. And then you wonder why you get cancer? Listen. Go do your research and you'll see that a lot of these so-called cancers are actually worm sacs, worm egg sacs, okay? Worm egg sacs are the food you eat. So when you eat the pig, you eat all those worm eggs, right? And it goes in your body and it spreads rapidly through your body. And then you get cancer. Go look and do the research. So let me read this quick and then I'm going to finish the show. Okay, he says, yeah, health and wellness, I took a lot of heat when he said, this is Dr. Darvall, he said that including Kansas, and we need to be mindful in this country. And that's why I'm forming this food safety committee that will be part of the health and wellness and promotion bill. It's a very revolutionized bill. I took a lot of heat when I presented it. You know why he took a lot of heat? Listen why he took a lot of heat. Just like when my good friend Pia Glover Rule, she spoke on behalf of constituency of the reports that she was getting from constituency residents who stated that, you know, the light was off. What is the problem? She is a minister, but she also is the member of parliament for the community. She has a relationship and she has an obligation to those individuals in the community. So because Ms. Jovette Coley Davis is the minister responsible for BPL, it's only right that it's Pia Glover Rule sent a letter on behalf of a constituency concerning the blackouts, because she is getting calls from her residents. That is only a letter. That is being a representative. And it's a job to go to Ms. Davis, because Ms. Davis is the minister responsible. And I guess she got a reply, and many people were saying that, you know, it's a problem. It can't be a problem. No, it's the right thing to do. You know, who else are you going to complain to? You're going to keep it more quiet. Why is your people in your community are asking you what the problem is? And you don't have the information, but you have a colleague who is the minister responsible. That is the right thing to do. And people want to criticize her and say that, you know, she's trying. No, it's no internal, nothing. It's just that you as a minister have to be responsible and do the right thing. So what Dr. Darwell is saying now is that when he tried to bring this bill, people want to fight it down. Is the reason why he said that. Because the people who are in charge of the company, charge of the country, has these companies. And they know that if this bill is passed, a lot of their products is not going to be allowed to come in the country, and they're going to lose money. And that's the bottom line. We're going to take this next call, and then we go to the next clip. Red caller, you're on Inside Inner City on Garden Radio.
Hello, Scrooge.
Yes, good night.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to say one thing. Just 1 minute. I'm so happy you pick up this particular topic, right? Because just as you are describing right now, people sometimes they do it deliberately. Sometimes people do it because of lack of knowledge or rather ignorance. But mostly people do it maliciously on these talk shows, right? Now, just as you pointed out, they're both members of parliament, right? They both have prospective constituents who they represent,
yes.
Right, Scrooge?
Yes.
And if you are my member of parliament and I'm being hurt by things that are happening in the community, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying the things that are happening are being done deliberately, right? But they are happening and the hurt still exists nonetheless, right?
Yeah.
Then the natural course of action is for you to make the inquiries on behalf of the constituents who you represent. And it's nothing malicious or nothing negative or nothing undermining about doing such a thing, right? You have to be seen as the member of parliament as taking responsibility and taking under consideration what is negatively impacting your constituents. And you have to be seen to be acting on that and trying to get a resolve as it relates to that. And who are you going to go to when you're sitting at the cabinet table with the person who is responsible? You're going to go to your colleague.
Yep.
And it's nothing disrespectful or wrong about speaking to your colleague and seeking for them to account so that you can respond to your constituents. That is the way it works. What do you say, Scrooge?
Yes, yes.
That's the way it works. And so I'm so happy you brought that up because, you know, I wanted to touch on that when I first heard it come up. But, you know, people are so devilish in their ways and so caught up in their emotions, especially after the election and the election results. People, anything would look negative. People would dress that up, no matter how bad it is or no matter how off they are about their presumptions. They will dress that up as long as they think it's going to make the government look bad or make it look like there's infighting. You know infighting there?
No.
That was the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to
Pia Glover Rose, to write to her colleague, to address it publicly. That's what they go to Parliament for, to speak publicly to the nation. So each constituent could see that their member of Parliament is fighting on their behalf. Thank you for the opportunity, Scores. Not respect, brother.
Okay. Good point. Yeah, so that's what it is. But I want people also to know that if you have a blood issue, there's three things I could recommend to you. You can get the Soracy, and you could get the, I get the thing with the name right in my head. You could get the Soracy, just a blood thinner. Man, I get it right in my head. Man, the green leaf, oh Lord, man, I forget. But anyway, those two combined together, Soracy or soursop leaf. They're good things to like help cleanse the blood, you know. You know, take a lot of ginger, you know, a lot of lime and stuff like that, you see. But it's good for you. But a lot of herbal things are very good for you, you know. The blue vervain, you know, that you see growing with the purple, with the blue leaves on it. That's good for the blood, brings down high blood pressure. Same thing again with the Soracy, same thing with the soursop leaf, you know, even the guava leaf, you know, the mango leaf, you know, you could use that to make tea. All these things are good, you know, you just have to get some organic honey, you know, and some agave, you know, and just drink three set of teas on a daily basis, you know. These are things that could help you deal with your health issues in the country naturally as well. You know, we have a lot of good herbal remedy that are actually working more better than pharmaceutical. So I suggest you, you know, take a look at the herbal remedy book for those who are diagnosed with certain ailments and see how possible you can get the information and then help heal yourself, you know. And I think that's a good thing to do, you know. But we got a lot of herbs over here that are very good for a lot of the chronically ill diseases in our country. You know, you just go to Hopper and look it up. You know? So, I just saying, look up the Jamaican Herbal Remedy Book or the Herbal Remedy Book. And if you have a chronic ill diseases and if you're really committed, you could use those ingredients. I tell you, you could grow these in your yard, people, because I drink my soursop tea, I drink my blue vervain tea, I drink my ginger tea, I drink my oregano. Now, the oregano, the Spanish thyme, I want the many people to know that is the number one antibiotics, okay? The Spanish thyme, all right? We call it Cuban oregano. You know, it's thyme, just like a regular thyme, but it has a flavor to you. It fights infection. So if you have throat infection, any infection in the body, you could use that. You could beat it, screen it, and drink it naturally. You could make teas with it, and that would deal with your infection in your body, okay? Yes, in your backyard that you think is grass, it's not even grass. Okay, let me make some sense to you before I change the subject. You ever see a dog when he's sick, right? And they're walking on the side of the road, and you see a particular bush that we commonly call grass. And this dog would basically go and eat this grass, like he'd be sick. And within 5 minutes, you'd watch his dog eat this grass. And then you'd see, within a 5 minute period, you'd see the dog start to burp. You know, and then he'd bring up a lot of coal. Then he'd look, he'd take a little stool. Then all of a sudden, this dog ain't sick no more. But that same grass you see right there is one of the most healthiest grass for the human body. The same grass would grow in the back of your yard. You know, the stuff that we think is grass ain't no grass. See it at the link. You have a tree in your yard, you can see one little smaller tree look like some tamarind tree. You call that seed on the link. That is good for the kidneys. You burn that, you have kidney disease. You use that on a regular basis, you know, 3 times a day as your tea, you know, with your little sweetener, you know, your little honey, natural honey, you know, and your agave, and you drink that 3 times a day, or naturally grind it together, and you drink it, you could help heal your kidneys. So along with the task force that the minister Dowell will form, and the education that we receive from the Minister of Health to the Ministry of Education. Then we teach our kids about healthy living. And as they program themselves and they get older, and as the different sets of kids go through school and they get the training, then eventually we start to get ahead of the problem because the education is out there. So people would start to know about keeping the human body healthy, because if you don't, you could lose your arm, you could lose your leg, you could lose your finger, you could lose your eyesight because of the way you're eating too much unhealthy food and putting it in your body. Okay? And that's the bottom line. You know, if you listen to many people, you'll hear them telling you, exercise and eat healthy. But the only way we're going to do that, if our government, which is our first line of defense, has this wellness bill and this task force to be formed that sees what comes in our country. We can play the next clip, please.
Amid a national teacher shortage, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Education Chester Cooper says officials will accelerate the hiring process of up to 100 Bahamian teachers who have already been identified, with 42 names submitted to the Public Service Commission thus far. Though Bahamians will get top priority, he says they are also in talks to recruit teachers from Ghana, Kenya, and other countries.
Ghana was enthusiastic, exuberant, I might add, in assisting and cooperating with us in helping us to resolve the matter. We have already been in touch with several countries, as I've indicated. Kenya, for example, has also offered. We are working through a list and the vetting process, and we're working with other countries as well. We're in the process of enlisting at the moment between 60 and 100 Bahamians, many of whom are recent graduates, but some of whom were not in the profession and want to return. So I want to be clear that, yes, we have invited all countries to assist us with filling the 300 gap, but we are hoping that we are able to get a cross-section of diverse professionals by discipline and by country of origin.
It comes days after Cooper said in a statement that education officials welcome an offer from Ghana of up to 300 teachers. It was met with criticism from Bahamas Union of Teachers President Belinda Wilson, who called it egregious and highly offensive, as teachers are still awaiting a new industrial agreement and outstanding payments.
And we don't want it to be about, politics. I've said to my colleagues in opposition that I do not intend to make education political. I've invited them not to do so either. When June, I believe, with the BUT and with Bekabu, both of those unions cited teacher shortage as a major issue that they've asked this new minister to resolve. They gave their suggestions. We've incorporated their suggestions in our work, and we are determined to resolve the issue, working hand in hand with them.
Cooper stressed that while they invited countries to help the Bahamas fill this gap, officials are not interested in playing politics. He made this plea to retired and aspiring educators.
So to every qualified Bahamian who has ever considered becoming a teacher, we need you. Your country needs you. If you have recently graduated, we encourage you to consider the classroom. If you are a retired educator with the passion to return, we welcome you. If you are a trained teacher but have left and built expertise in another profession and are now prepared to share that knowledge with the next generation, there is a place for you in our schools.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Voning Tu.
Yeah, like I say, you know, I highly respect Belinda Wilson and what she represents. You know, she fights for the teachers, you know. First line of defense is the teachers in the country. You know, I just like to say that. I think the teachers, you know, have teach the politicians, have teach the pastors, you know. So they are actually the first line of defense, you know. And I do sympathize with Ms. Wilson when she talked about, you know, the outstanding payments and what teachers are promising, et cetera, and et cetera. But education can wait. I think that most teachers, you know, don't like to go on the family island because, you know, the family island is not really properly developed, you know, and the teachers don't really get that much incentive, you know, because if you're on the family island, you should get a car, you know, a house, you know, and a little sniping because, you know, you're going to be dealing with a lot of kids, you know, in the classroom, you can imagine 30-something kids and you have to teach them the basic on an everyday period. Teachers, you know, have our kids from 9 o'clock till 3 o'clock, sometimes 4 or 5 o'clock, you know, and basically every professional in this country, you know, has had a teacher who has inspired he or she, you know. I could read and write because of the teachers before me, you know, so each of us can say that. But I do, you know, I understand from the government point of view. They put it out there. We do have a teacher shortage. You know, our teachers are underpaid in the country, you know. But at the same time, you know, having some foreign teachers to probably go on the family island and make up that space and tell, you know, we can get it right. Let's substitute teachers for now. He's also asking for 100 teachers. And then, you know, teachers can reapply again, you know. So, you know, it's kind of a delicate situation. But again, you know, I think that having 300 Guyanese teacher here would be a plus to us. You know, I don't think it is a bad thing, you know. And I think that education is the first line of defense. I think that the Ministry of Health can also get us information that they receiving about the chronically ill diseases in our country. And they themselves can make regular visits to the various school, primary school, junior high school, and senior high school. They educate the kids on a healthy living and what they should put in their body, or what label should they read when they go in the food store, and what products that they buy, you know, what it contains and what it can do to the human body. And this can be a repellent. This could be like a first line of defense for our kids in the country, you know. So I think that education is very, very important to develop one of this country. So again, I know Ms. Belinda Wilson, I never talk about Belinda Wilson or say nothing bad, you know. She has her views, which I highly respect, but I just like to say this. I think the training teachers would not affect us. I don't think it would hurt us. I think it would be a plus to us, because I think those teachers coming in from foreign land, they really want to come here their best, because when I look at the background of these teachers, they are highly trained. You know, I'm not saying our Bahamian teachers are not highly trained. You know, never that. I'm just saying that they're highly trained. I think they'd be a plus to us. You know, on the various family islands, you know, can go or don't want to go because they are family in Nassau. And if they want to go on the family island, house transportation have to be provided by our governments for the teachers to go and leave from Nassau to go to the family island. And a good sniping and a good paycheck have to be a part of the deal, because most teachers would not go. You know, because the pay is the same and the expense is going to be double in the family island, and it is boring, you know. So most teachers decline to go on the family island, and we deprive our kids on the family island from getting a proper education. But with these teachers from Guyana and probably a mix of BM teachers, we can start to make some progress. We can play the next clip.
Affairs Michaela Barnett Ellis is calling for a tougher, more aggressive approach to enforcing bail conditions, following reports that a man charged with the murder of James McPhee allegedly breached the terms of his bail by failing to report to a police station 81 times between January 3rd and July 8th, 2026. McPhee was the key witness in 39-year-old Adnan Oliver's upcoming armed robbery trial.
What we're really seeing is an indication of the system and the flaws in the system. Because even when you look at the gentleman who's been charged for Mr. McPhee's murder, his 81 breaches happened between January and June of this year. It's not 81 breaches over an extended period of time. It's 81 breaches over 6 months. And the question is, you know, what systems are in place so that when you have somebody who's on bail that breaches their bail conditions, what are the systems so that is communicated to the prosecutor so that they get applied to have bail revoked, so that the witness can be warned, because you don't know if that's an indication of something else, but it's clearly an indication of somebody with very little respect for the law and for court orders.
Oliver is accused of murdering McPhee on July 12th, just weeks before he was scheduled to testify against him in a trial set to begin in August. Oliver is also accused of robbing McPhee at gunpoint of his Rolex watch in 2019. Barnett Ellis says the case underscores the critical importance of ensuring that bail conditions are not only imposed, but also strictly monitored and enforced.
So when we talked about the amendments to the Bail Act, and everybody was throwing blame here, there, and everywhere as to why persons get bail. But I think that this shows that it's a much larger problem. And it's not, you know, granting bail isn't the problem. It's ensuring that the restrictions associated with the bail are put in place and that somebody is keeping an eye on, making sure that people check in. And when they don't check in, that matter goes to prosecutors so they can apply to have the bail revoked, because that is the consequence for breaching your bail condition.
A 28-year-old man accused of attempted murder and possession of a firearm is also back behind bars after he allegedly failed to sign in at a police station 66 times between February 18th and July 17th. Attorney General Wayne Monroe said people who sign as sureties have an obligation to ensure that the accused complies with the conditions of bail. However, the Free National Movement member of parliament said that responsibility cannot rest solely with sureties, arguing that authorities must take a more proactive role in enforcing court-ordered bail conditions.
They seem to want to blame everybody else except for the defendant. The person who needs to be held accountable for breaching the bail is the person on bail, is the defendant, and there are mechanisms in place to deal with that. If they think that the sureties aided and abetted, okay, then go after the sureties. But the first thing is, you've breached the bail, we going back to court to have that bail revoked, because clearly you have no respect for the law or the court's order, and that is the natural consequence. And I hope that after seeing these particular cases that have been made public, that prosecutors take a more aggressive approach, and that police officers take a more aggressive approach in terms of notifying the prosecutors. You know, John Doe has not checked in on Monday. He has not checked in on Tuesday. Let them know. Keep track of this so that the necessary consequences can follow.
Barnett Ellis said she knew McPhee personally as he was her constituent.
Mr. McPhee was a resident of Killarney, and so my condolences to his family, who I've been in contact with. He was quite the character. He was somebody that I knew personally. But what we want to see is this: we have systems in place. This is not, we're not reinventing the wheel. There are systems in place, but like we have said so often, it is the execution, it is the enforcement.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Vonique Tude.
Oh, you see, like I say, they saying they have it, the enforcement is there. It's just that, you know, I mean, they just got to enforce it. The preventive measure is there. So just like I be talking about the Food and Safety Committee, same thing we have in here about the bail conditions, you know? People get bail, you know, they breach the bail. But you know what the biggest problem is? The problem is we're having so much crime and so much complaint that the police themselves cannot keep up with the volume of complaints. And they forget, you know, it's 81 times. Do we think that was a coincidence? No, it's just that how many cases are before the police? And they're monitoring so many different persons around the country. They are screened, you know? And until we could find a way to reduce that, you know, and that is gonna, like I say, you know, it's gonna take us a very long time to bring down the murder rate in this country, you know, because it takes a lot, you know. I'm still understanding on solutions. You know, I have some. A lot of it's been implemented, a very slow process. But the other way is to reduce it, you know. We just saying, really focus on the solution. We're doing bits and pieces, you know, and not getting ahead of the problem. Like, we got to get ahead of the crime problem. We got to get rid of ahead of the crime problem. You have to understand that the family structure has been destroyed. So we have to work on empowering the community, training the kids, and teaching them how to be family oriented, husband, wife. What it is to have a wife, what it is to have a boyfriend, what it is to have a child. You know, you just can't go out there and have sex and have a child and think that that is all that is needed for you to raise a child. You know, it comes with a lot. You know, child need support. They need tutoring. They need guidance. They need to be teach what is right and what is wrong. They got to be respectful to mind their own business. You understand? And to think twice before they act out of anger. And that there are consequences when you do certain things to a fellow human being. There are consequences like getting locked up from the police, going to court, and then could eventually be jailed of a certain amount of time or life in jail, you know? So we need preventative measures. You know, we are backwards as a country, you know? Like I said before, the Food Safety Committee, supposed to have been established in this country 50 years ago. I want to give credit to Mr. Dr. Darvill, even though he is a minister. And he, I think that from his profession, you know, he could have pushed it a lot further when he was, you know, minister a long time ago. But at the same time, it's a step in the right direction. I'm glad that he is making this a priority. Okay? So we head in the right direction. So, yeah. I hope you enjoyed the show. Very good conversation. We had a lot of good callers today. A lot of information we shared today. But I just want to let the Bahamian people know that 535 people die of cancer every year. And that there are going to be 1,000 more who contract the disease. And listening to the expert, they saying it's the food that we eat and consume in our body. The government of Bahamas now is putting a food task force and trying to put educational programs in place to help educate the population of the Bahamas on what to consume and what not to consume in the body because of carcinogens, which leads to high diabetes, which leads to obesity, which leads to different cancers in the human body that can be prevented. Okay? So please read the labels when you go in the food store. Look at the herbal remedy book. If you do have one of these chronically ill diseases, check with the doctor. But also the best doctor is reading out the Bible and put God as your best doctor. All right? Because he feed the birds and the bees. Okay? And teach your kids on how to eat healthy, you know. Like Kentucky McDonald's, that's only one specialty, you know, that you take them on, you know, and et cetera, you know. And like I said, I'm not telling no one what to do with them lives. I'm only giving you a warning that what is happening in our country can be prevented, okay, if we take the right advice. I'm Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scooch or Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guiding Radio 96.9. I hope you enjoy the show. That's next week. Big up to Anton, big up to Elroy, and the whole crew. And to everyone who listened tonight, you have a very your health is everything, okay? Your health is everything, okay? So good night and enjoy.
Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.